into our 90s leads me to assume that I am the one that has known and loved dear Margie longer than anyone else. Not only was my sister 7 years older than I, but as I recall, Margie always seemed 7 inches taller. This was a great advantage to Margie, who in our childhood occasionally volunteered babysitting services. Her eager charges were my other sister, Dinah, affectionately nicknamed Deansy, and myself. Our brother Billy was close to Margie's age and escaped her watchful eye. Deansy was only 17 months older than I, and therefore we bonded more like twins. Margie supervised the dynamic duo lovingly most of the time, and with authority, she patiently entertained us with imaginative games, like taking us on journeys to fairyland. These consisted of the three of us squeezing together into a dark closet, Margie whispering, "The fairies are having a ball. Listen carefully, you might hear some fairy music." In case the dubious duo had any doubts, Margie would gently step on our toes and proclaim that it was the fairies. Eyes as white as silver dollars, Dixie and I believed her implicitly. When it came to advice, Margie gave it freely, without hesitation, generously, matter-of-factly, and surely more often than asked for. Because she and Mother had gone to Wellesley College previous to my enrollment, Margie felt entitled to select my courses. She chose first year German and zoology to satisfy my language and science requirements. These, factored in with my other classes, turned out to be a very demanding routine. I thought her suggestions were the voice of experience. Margie later confessed that she herself had never taken either course. She heard, quite rightly, I might add, that they were reputed to be too tough. Although Margie's constructive criticisms were known for more for their bluntness than for that tact, we realized early on that this was Margie's way of showing interest and trying to be helpful. Margie's creativity was not limited to closet fantasies. She chose to marry Lionel Levy, a gentleman who loved books, and together they raised a family of independent thinkers. Margie sought to express herself in a more permanent arena. So, while her contemporaries were battling with their midlife crises, Margie enrolled in art school and successfully pursued sculpting. I was always proud of her special talent. Her art graced our home in Tarrytown, New York, and our embassy residence in Bern, Switzerland. I was not alone in thinking that her art had charm and quality. Our hometown of Philadelphia has several of Margie's works permanently and prominently displayed. A few years ago, the Cosmopolitan Club of Philadelphia held a retrospective show of Margie's sculpture, and several pieces were enthusiastically purchased by admirers. Throughout her lifetime, Margie loved and appreciated beauty. Her homes were full of charm, both inside and out, and meticulously appointed with perfect decorative accents. The graceful floral centerpieces displayed throughout were arranged in blossoms which Margie had nurtured in her carefully planned flower beds. I remember visiting one day, about 3 years ago, during the small family gathering at Westview Avenue in Germantown. Thoughtfully, daughter Joan offered to get Margie a cup of tea. Margie accepted, and moments later, Joan produced the cup of tea. Margie, then aged 96, looked at the presentation and immediately called to Joan's attention that she had committed a faux pas by providing the wrong spoon. And thought to myself, who would have known better than Margie, the Martha Stewart of a day, precisely which was the correct spoon for afternoon tea. Entertaining in style was Margie's cup of tea. Margie was truly a great sister, friend, and family matriarch, whom we love and admire. She will be missed.